Grace to you and peace from him who was and who is to come, our great shepherd of the sheep, our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. His word that we meditate upon this morning is from Acts chapter 2, verses 42 to 47. And they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship, in the breaking of bread and in prayers. Then fear came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were done through the apostles. Now all who believed were together and had all things in common, and sold their possessions and goods, and divided them among all as anyone had need. So continuing daily with one accord in the temple, and breaking bread from house to house, they ate their food with gladness and simplicity of heart, praising God and having favor with all the people, and the Lord added to the church daily those who were being saved. So far the word of the Lord. Sanctify us by your truth, O Lord. Your word is truth. Amen. I know a lot of you are, all of you are watching online today or on a DVD. And I don't know how many of you bother to print out the bulletin. It's provided there if you want it, but it's not really necessary. All the information, all the words are right there in the video service. If, however, you did happen to look at it or print it out, you would have noticed right away that today is Good Shepherd Sunday. It's right there on the cover. And if you didn't notice on the cover, they opened to the first page and the pre-service devotion, of course, is Psalm 23. And if you didn't print out the bulletin and didn't notice it then, you probably figured it out in our readings. We read John chapter 10 and 1 Peter talks about the overseer and shepherd of our souls. Normally on Good Shepherd Sunday, we read from John 10 or Psalm 23. We read descriptions, either in poetry or in John, reminding us what a wonderful and great shepherd Jesus is for us. Today, however, we have a slightly different view of the same topic. Rather than a description of how Jesus is our good shepherd, today's text gives us a glimpse at what it means to be a sheep dwelling safely in that pasture of our Lord. In Acts chapter 2, we find a description of what it means to be one of his sheep in his pasture. A people dwelling under Christ's shepherd's crook. And we see that they are filled with joy for the wealth of heaven, and that they walk without fear through all the trials, tribulations, and sufferings of this life, knowing that Jesus is their good shepherd. Acts chapter 2, verse 42, and they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship, in the breaking of bread and in prayers. My dearly beloved brethren, one of the great hallmarks of American culture is practicality. We pride ourselves on being a practical people. If I were to ask you, what's the ultimate American clothing, you probably would agree that it's jeans or denim. If, on the other hand, I was to ask you, what characterizes French clothing, or what do you think of as French clothing, you probably think of something frilly, pretty, but not really going to last, not really going to stand up to the rigors of outdoor life. Of course, they have jeans in France, and a lot of them wear it, and we have pretty clothing over here, but that's not what we think of as our clothing, right? Americans are practical, and that's a good attitude. That's a wonderful thing to learn how to be practical, and in fact, it's something that we see in our text this morning. It's something we see in the early Christian church. They were, in many ways, a very practical people as well. Notice how they went from house to house and worshiped in the temple. The church at Jerusalem was over 3,000 people at this point. Think of what a large congregation that is. And yet, they didn't feel the need to build their own church, but they had the temple there. That was the house of God. And they used it to worship. And they went from house to house. It was a very practical response, right? It's not wrong, of course, to build a church. If they had done that, it wouldn't have been wrong, but they didn't see a need to. They just continued to use the temple and worship from house to house. They ate their bread with simplicity of heart. They shared all that they had in common. They were very practical people. And that's something that we can admire and even emulate about them. However, we should take time to stop and notice that they were practical about earthly things, sharing their food, where they worship, things like that, but not with regard to spiritual things. There was no practicality for them with regard to spiritual things, was there? Because in verse 42 we read, they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship, in the breaking of bread and in prayers, meeting from house to house daily, meeting from house to house daily, rejoicing in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship, in breaking of bread and in prayers. This was a group of people who knew the joy and the love of Christ Jesus, their Savior, who had risen from death. They knew the power of God and they knew the grace of Christ. And they rejoiced in that grace. They wallowed in the wealth of His grace. A practical attitude towards God and His Word might sound something like this. Well, I went to church on Sunday. That's good enough for the week. I will set aside a couple minutes in the morning for prayer, but then I gotta get to work. I receive the Lord's Supper every once in a while. It's not something I really need. I get it every once in a while. That's good enough. Or, we don't really need private confession. I know that my sins are forgiven. I don't need to go and talk to the pastor about it. That's good enough. These are very practical attitudes. I got God's grace in this one form. I got it on Sunday. I got it for a few minutes this morning. That's good enough. I need to get to other things. I've got to work. Right? I've got to work. I don't have time for church, for prayer, for the Lord's Supper. That's a very practical attitude applied to God's word and God's grace. But such an attitude was seemingly unknown in the early Christian church, wasn't it? They gave up the things of this world and lived simply in an earthly sense so that they could fill their life. They didn't do it just to prove what simple people they were or how they could live simply. They did it so that they would be free from the things of this world to fill their lives with the wealth of heaven and with the wealth of God's grace and love in Christ Jesus. Daily, they rejoice in doctrine, in fellowship, in breaking of bread, in prayers, in the means of grace, in receiving the word, in receiving God's grace, not just in one form, but in many different forms. You know, one of the things about the Indians, when I lived in India, is they eat rice. And when I say that, that's what they eat, and that's pretty much all that they eat. I mean, they add things to it, to be sure, but they eat rice. Morning, noon, and night, they eat rice. There's nothing wrong with that. I'm not criticizing them for that. But they have this one standard meal. I mean, I understand that they do it because that's what they can afford and that's what they have, and that's fine, that's wonderful. They have this one standard meal of rice, a big pile of rice and these little cups that go around it, and that's a meal. And it's pretty much what they eat almost every day. And again, that's good, that's great, but it's not something that I personally am used to, and I think most of you would agree that we like to have variety. And when I was growing up, I don't know if we had the same meal ever twice in the same month, other than leftovers. Of course, you got to eat up the leftovers. I'm saying I don't let my mom cook the exact same meal twice in the same month. I mean, breakfast. We always had oatmeal was for breakfast, so that was kind of repetitive. But otherwise, we had lots of different variety. And we certainly do now at my house, and I think many of you do too, to some extent or another. Maybe you don't eat Indian food, like Vanessa and I like to eat Indian food, but you still probably have a wide variety of food. You know, if we wanted to, we could, and by we I mean humans, not I don't think anyone in this church could do that, but humans in general, we probably could figure out how to make a nice bland cube, brown cube of nutrients, has all the nutrients and calories that we need for a day, and then you just eat that and you're good to go. No flavor or anything, just this nice bland cube with everything we need in it. Why would we want to, right? Why would we want to? How much better, how much more joyful it is to taste all the variety of flavors and food that God has created for us. And what a wonderful God that we have, that He didn't just give us a food cube to eat every day, but gave us this huge variety to taste His goodness. The same thing is true when it comes to spiritual foods as well. God hasn't just given us one means or one way in which to taste His goodness, but many different ways. Especially in God's Word, to be sure, and all the different accounts of His goodness in the Old Testament and in the New, but also in the Lord's Supper, also in baptism, also in private confession. Many different avenues, many different ways to taste the Lord's goodness. And that early church delighted in all of them. They filled their lives with the richness of God's grace and that means of grace. They knew what it was to be the sheep of Christ and to abide in Him. And they weren't practical about it. They gouged themselves on that word of the Lord. They rejoiced in filling their lives with every flavor of God's grace. And so do you. I know. I don't say this because I think that you guys don't rejoice in God's grace. I know that you do. Just this week, I sent out that question asking how we want to proceed with services. And many of the comments I got back made it very clear that you missed coming to church. You missed singing hymns of praise to God. You missed hearing God's word. You missed the fellowship that we have with one another. And you miss the Lord's Supper and all the other means, all the other ways in which God fills us with His grace. So I know that you guys miss it too and also rejoice like that early church in this grace of God. I don't say this because I think you don't know it, but to encourage you even more fully. We do rejoice in receiving all the flavors of God's grace, in receiving Christ as our good shepherd, in hearing His word, hearing His voice, in singing hymns of praise to Him. We probably can't come measure up to the level of excitement and enthusiasm of that early church. That's probably true. They probably do have us beat. But we know the joy of being Christ's sheep and dwelling in that peaceful pasture which He has given to us, because we, like them, know the peace that comes from the staff of our good shepherd protecting us in all danger and in every tribulation. These verses show indeed a picture of those who dwelt in the love of their good shepherd, but even more importantly, they show us the picture of a good shepherd who watched over His sheep and protected them from all harm and danger. And the Lord added to the church daily. The Lord added to the church daily These were not a people that had an easy time. They didn't have a really good PR guy to make sure that everyone thought well of them and to bring in new business. This was a group that was poor, and many of them were homeless. It was a group that was despised by the society in which they dwelt and highly persecuted. They were beaten and killed and hunted, and yet they prospered and they grew under the protection of their good shepherd. Verse 43 of our text reminds us, the fear of God came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were done through the apostles. We've talked before about what is the fear of God, and there are many different pictures, many different ways of portraying what it means to fear God in Scripture. Here we have yet another very vivid, very wonderful picture of what that means. These people were marked, as are we. The Lord marked them as His, just like a shepherd branding his sheep. So the Lord made sure that everyone knew these were His sheep. He did that in one way through wonders and signs that were done through the apostles. He showed His power and His protection. We think of how Peter was thrown into prison. The king wanted him dead, and yet the Lord opened the gates of that prison, and Peter walked out. King Herod, in all his wrath, couldn't touch this one of Jesus' sheep. The Lord showed His power, His protection. The Lord marked these people as His sheep, and everyone who was not in the church, the people around the church, every soul, the fear of God came upon them. That is to say, those who were outside the church saw the power of that shepherd, of the one who watched over that sheep, and feared to come against them. You know, it's said that during the Pax Romana, the high point of the Roman Empire, it said that a Roman citizen could walk from Spain to Egypt without fear. He could do that because he was marked by the Roman government, and the Roman government made it clear that no one touched a Roman citizen. If they did, they would have to answer to the greatest military power the world had ever seen. And so those who are not Roman citizens trembled in fear to touch a Roman citizen. And those who were Roman citizens walked without fear anywhere they wanted to. How much greater is the power which overshadows us every step of our life? Those outside the church saw the power of God and trembled in fear. Those inside the church saw the power of their good shepherd and laid down in peace and serenity, knowing that nothing, no bad thing was going to get past the one who stood as guard over them. That's the fear of God. To those outside, it means watch out. To those in, those marked by Christ, as we are marked as His sheep, it means peace and security and rest. That the power of God surrounds us. The power of Him who rose from the dead surrounds us and protects us and keeps us from every evil. As David wrote, "Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil." We who dwell in the pasture of the Lord walk without fear, knowing the promises of God, knowing that we are marked as His. We saw ourselves a vivid demonstration of God's grace and love and power just yesterday. One of our own, Bob McElroy, was taken to the hospital with severe chest pains. I'm sure it was a scary time for his family. And yet, almost even before the word got out of the danger he was in, the Lord delivered him. The Lord worked through the hands of the physicians. And at least the last I heard, he was doing well and recovering and will soon be up and walking around again, although he probably needs to take it easy for a little bit. Now, of course, God's our shepherd's grace and power and love is not always so evident. In this case, it is clear, his love and his protection are clear. But sometimes we go into the hospital and we don't come out again. Sometimes we get sick and we don't recover. Sometimes we pray for help and it seems like things only keep getting worse. God's love and protection, that strength that was so evident in the early Christian church as the apostles did wonders and signs, is not always so clear in our lives. And yet we know the promises of God. We know the grace of God by faith, right? Even when we can't see how this is a good thing, we know it's our loving shepherd standing over us, protecting us from all harm and every danger. And we delight in his grace and his love that gives to us above all other things the wealth and riches of his kingdom, the forgiveness of our sins. Let us continue to steadfastly rejoice in that wealth, in that power, in that grace. We don't need to be practical about the riches of God's grace. We want to delight in every opportunity to experience, to read, to taste, to feel, to talk about, to sing about that grace and that love for us, continuing daily in his love and his grace as we are branded by him as his sheep, as we are those over whom the good shepherd stands to guard us from all harm and every danger. Amen. The peace of God that surpasses all understanding shall keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus.